I want to welcome you today and invite you to take out your teaching outlines as we're continuing this message series titled Heart Healthy. And we've been looking at the necessary habits that we have to have in order to be spiritually healthy. What we have done is drawn a parallel to the physical and medical life that we hope to have, which is a healthy one. No matter how much money you have, no matter how much fame or fortune or possessions, you need your health to enjoy those things. You need to have necessary habits to be healthy, physically speaking. The same is true spiritually. We need to have certain habits, habits that we commit to, habits that we develop over the course of time that strengthen our relationship with God. Because your relationship with God, whether we realize it or not, is our most important relationship. It's the most important relationship that we have. And so therefore, our heart needs to be healthy. And so we've had a key verse, a theme verse for this entire series, Proverbs 4:23, which is found at the top of your outline. Let's say it together. It's on the screen as well. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." God wants us to know everything we do flows from our heart. And so we must be right with God. We got to have a right heart with God. Not a perfect heart, but a right heart with God. Because everything we do flows from there. Now, one of the threats to our heart, physically speaking, might be the certain types of foods that we eat that can threaten our health in terms of our heart and our overall physical health. There might be some other risk to our heart, like stress. Some other risk that might speed up your stress, like going on certain types of rides or being around certain types of people, could elevate your stress level and be a threat to your heart. Now, there are also threats to our heart, spiritually speaking, and I want to share one with you today, and I think we all struggle with this from some time to another. And a serious threat to your heart, you're going to want to write this down, and don't be stubborn about it, by the way. Stubborn mule syndrome, okay? Stubborn mule syndrome. Is anybody a stubborn mule here? Anybody? Okay, don't be stubborn. Raise your hand, okay? Stubborn mule syndrome. Now, this phrase, you may have heard it before. This is something that comes from the scriptures. In the New Living Translation, Psalm 32:9, and in the God's Word translation, it says this: "Don't be stubborn like a horse or a mule. They need a bit or a bridle in their mouth to restrain them, or they will not come near you." It's possible for you and I to struggle with stubborn mule syndrome, and to abbreviate it, we'll call it SMS. Now, there are some examples of this in the scripture, some notable ones, and you'll notice them right here in your notes, of stubborn mule syndrome. The Israelites, they were infamously stubborn. We see that throughout their history. Psalm 78, verse 8, chronicles that and gives us a summary of that. But what's interesting about the Israelites is that God had blessed them incredibly. Miracle after miracle, provision after provision. If it was water, if it was food, God provided. If it was parting the Red Sea, God provided it. If it was the promise of the promised land, God gave it. And so God, over and over again, extended himself. But the Israelites, they kept going back to their own course. They were overwhelmed by their own pride, if you will. And that stubborn mule syndrome is infamous in their life because God had done so much for them. Pharaoh had a stubbornness that was chronic. So much so, we find out that it not only cost his nation, but it eventually cost him his life. And it's possible to be so stubborn that we push away the things that God has for us. We could be so controlled and caught up in that. And then going to the New Testament, the Pharisees, their stubbornness actually grieved the heart of Jesus. You remember the man with the withered hand that Jesus healed? They were more caught up on that it was done on the Sabbath than the fact that this man was healed and now he has a hand. You can't get any more stubborn than that. But our stubbornness could cause major disaster and calamity in our own life. We could actually run the risk of colliding with lots of things that we don't need to be colliding with. It could produce disaster and wreckage in our own life. You know, I came across a story that back in the summer of 1986, two ships collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. The story goes on to say that hundreds of people died. But as they investigated this, as they always do in these accidents, or what may appear to be an accident, was that it could have been prevented. It wasn't a case of equipment malfunction. It wasn't like the radar went down. It wasn't a thick fog. What had happened was that the two captains, they saw each other coming, but they refused to steer clear of each other. They could have easily done that. And instead of doing what they needed to do and even getting radioed in to do so, to steer clear, they wind up colliding, causing terrible wreckage. That's the same thing that happens to us. When we're stubborn and we don't heed to what God is saying, danger ahead, collision gonna come, we just keep going and we're stubborn. And so what do we need to do? Because that's gonna threaten our health with God and our heart with God. So then we need to adapt to this habit. Write this habit down. This is the habit of teachability. We gotta be teachable people. Nobody has arrived. Nobody knows it all. If you think you do, you are a sitting duck for your own collision. What we have to realize is that God's will is for us to keep growing and to keep learning. Learning in the faith, learning in character strength, learning in integrity, learning in life, parenting, whatever it may be. We don't arrive. We got to understand that God wants us to keep learning. Now, one of my favorite verses is Psalm 86:11. This verse has meant a lot to me for a good long time in my life and my walk with God, because I'm stubborn at times. Listen, I'm Italian. I'm stubborn by culture, okay? It's extra hard for me, so I need verses like this. This is what it says here. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Because there's two versions of truth, right? Our version and God's version. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Now, here's an important one. Grant me purity of heart. Grant me purity of heart. I don't need to have a mixed, contaminated heart. So then, I may be famous? No. So I may get everything I want? No. So that I, what? May honor you. That's the goal. That's the heart of teachability. And so we want to understand this morning then, how can I adapt this habit into my life? No matter where I am in my journey with God, no matter where I've been, I never stop learning. As I understand this from God's word, I got to have a teachable heart. So then how could I apply this into my life? Well, let's do so by turning to Acts chapter 18. Turn me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 18. And there we could follow along starting in verse 24. Now, if you have your phone with you or your iPad, you could also pull up the outline for today's message and follow right along and take notes and go through the scriptures with us that way as well. But starting in Acts chapter 18, verse 24, we read this concerning teachability, and we're reintroduced to a very prominent character who, by all meaning of the term, is a hero of the faith. But you don't hear much about him, but he is definitely a hero of the faith. And so we start off here in verse 24 of Acts chapter 18. The author of Acts is Dr. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he chronicles the beginnings of the church. And here we learn about a man by the name of Apollos. It says, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, it says, the scripture says, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now this man had been instructed, notice, in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John, that being John the Baptist. And we'll put our finger right there. We learn about a man by the name of Apollos. Now, the book of Acts portrays Apollos as one of the great contributors in the New Testament and the church. As we learn about him, we find out that he is from Alexandria. Now, Alexandria was located in Egypt, and it was actually at the mouth of the Nile. And even though it was in Egypt, it was a Jewish population. And so even though he lived outside of Israel, he grew up in all senses of the word, in understanding, in a Jewish culture. Now, the scripture goes on to tell us a few superlatives about this man, Apollos. It says he was an eloquent man. Now, when the scripture says somebody's an eloquent man, in fact, it's the only place this word is used here in this text. It means a man who was good with his words and who was learned. He was studied up. And so we find out that this man is learned, he's studied up, and he could present himself in a fashion before people. And it says that he was now, he wasn't, now, what was he eloquent in? Was he telling jokes? Was he eloquent in sports? What was he talking about? Well, we find out he was mighty in the scriptures. And that word mighty in the Greek language is closely related to dunamis, which means dynamite, say, in the English vernacular. So this man was dynamite. He was great. He was mighty in the scriptures, and he was eloquent in presenting it. Now, this word for scriptures is interesting. It's the New Testament word for the Old Testament. That's very important as we go on here in understanding teachability. Apollos was mighty in the understanding of the what? The Old Testament. And so he was able to accurately explain the prophets, talk about the covenants, give us the details of the miraculous accounts in the Old Testament. He was mighty to explain that. He was articulate enough, and he was, by all ways, as we see, somebody who could even debate these truths of, notice, the Old Testament. As we study in the Greek language, this word here, scripture, graphos, relates to the Old Testament. Now, it says he came to Ephesus. Now, we're going to find out how this is all connected. It says this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. This is another way that the New Testament describes the Old Testament, the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord refers to the Old Testament scriptures. He had been instructed, no doubt, in his Jewish culture. And he rose from just being a boy that went through the motions to being somebody who learned the way so well that he had a dynamic faith, and he also had a heart to share it. And it says, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately. So he wasn't off. He was accurate. He was authentic. He taught it clearly. And we find all this out. But if there had to be a but in the story, which leaves room for understanding of teachability, it's that he only knew of the baptism of John. Well, that meant that he understood that John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that John the Baptist was setting the stage for Christ to come. And so this tells us that he was looking for the Messiah. This tells us that he had a belief in the Messiah, but maybe not a full understanding of the significance of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there's room for growth here. So now coming to verse 26, notice this here in your scriptures. It says, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. So he's in the synagogues and he's teaching and he's talking about the Lord. Now when Aquila and Priscilla, I don't know about you, but those are pretty cool names. Anybody have any friends named Aquila and Priscilla? Introduce me, because I want to hang out with them, okay? Hey, who are you hanging out with today? I'm hanging out with Aquila and Priscilla. I mean, you just sound cool when you got friends named Aquila and Priscilla. I just wanted to throw that out there, okay? So when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, because they were in the synagogue, they took him aside. Now, who is Aquila and Priscilla besides people who have cool names? Aquila is a Jewish believer in Jesus Christ. His wife, Priscilla, is also a believer. We find out that these two people, who are heroes of the faith as well, they met up with the Apostle Paul in Corinth. You know where the church at Corinth started? In their home. They opened up their home, and the church began in their home. That's why I want to commend anybody who opens their home for a Bible study. You're allowing the church to be in your home. Some of you have the church in your home or at your place of work, or down at the beach, or somewhere. You are opening up your heart, and you are saying, hey, where I am, this is where God is with me here, and I'm opening up my home. And so here's Aquila and Priscilla. You know, listen, maybe not many books are written on these people, but these are heroes of the faith. They have opened their home, and they're friends with Paul. And how'd they get hooked up with Paul? What were they by profession as you study the New Testament? They were tent makers. And what was Paul doing to supplement his income as he was planting churches? He was a tent maker, and so they got hooked up there. But even better than that, they weren't just trading stories about making tents. Paul saw that they had a great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God brought them together. And then after that, they also went to Ephesus with Paul. And guess where the churches in the region of Ephesus started? In their home. Thus, the connection now with Apollos and Aquila and Priscilla. So they are church leaders. They are seasoned believers in Jesus Christ. And they know the ways of not only the Old Testament, but they know the ways of Christ. They know the significance that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he rose from the dead. They know that there is no other way which men could be saved but by Jesus Christ. They understand that very clearly. Jesus is not just a prophet. He's not just a figmentation of somebody's religious imaginary conception. He is, without question, 100% God in human flesh. They understand it completely, and they hear Apollos teaching, not that he's inaccurate in any ways, but they notice something here that they could sharpen this man who has tremendous ability to lift him up and give him more of an understanding of the New Testament as we know it today, so that he could be more useful to God. And so it says that they took him aside. Now, as we read the rest of the story, Apollos doesn't push them away. So we arrive at a point here of application that we can write down when it comes to being teachable. Very important if you want to be teachable. Write this down. Release unhealthy pride. There's such thing as a healthy pride, like a healthy jealousy, for example. But a healthy pride, you should take pride in how you smell. I mean, please, you sit next to people at church, at work, or when you commute to work, okay? So you should take pride in how you smell, how you look. You should take pride in your family. You should love your family. And what that means is that you're there for them, you care for them, you provide for them, and so forth and on. We don't need to wait till we're at a funeral home to remember that. We could do that while we're living. That's healthy pride. And unhealthy pride is when we're selfish, when we're consumed about ourselves, when it's all about what we want to do and how we want to act and how we want to live. And that just gets in the way. We must release that in order to be teachable to receive from God, just like Apollos is doing here. He released it. Now, we got to release our pride. We got to give it over to God. Pride cometh before the fall, the Bible says. We're also told in several places in the Scripture that God resists the prideful, but he gives grace to the humble. And so you want to push off and fend off pride, you want to release pride. Listen, if Apollos was prideful, he would have never let Aquila and Priscilla pull him aside. I mean, I guess if this could have went another way, if he was prideful, Apollos could have said, "Oh, wait a minute. I don't care what your names are, Aquila, Priscilla, you know, whoever you are. I don't care how cool your names are. You don't tell me. I'm Apollos. I'm mighty in the Scriptures. Look at me." And that's how some people are today. They're all about their titles. They're all about what they've done. They want everybody to bow down and worship them. It's not about that. Apollos was taken aside lovingly. They didn't embarrass him. They didn't call him out in an evil way. They pulled him aside quietly because they wanted to encourage him. They wanted to build him up. I'm thankful in my life that I've had people through the years, especially when I was starting out, pull me aside and encourage me. We need that. We got to remain teachable. If you don't want to be a teachable spirit, you may not realize it, and people may not tell you this, but people aren't going to want to follow you. They're not going to like you. They're not going to want to do anything that you want to do. They're just going to go through the motions, because that actually repels people when you are unteachable. But when you are teachable, it brings people in. Because after all, we're all sinful. We all need God's grace. Nobody's better than anybody. Nobody came out of a special assembly line from heaven that they don't need to be teachable. We all need to be teachable. We must realize that. Now, we must give up our pride and be humble before God. This is so beautiful. An unknown author wrote this. Appetite says, be sensuous, enjoy yourself. Education says, be resourceful, expand yourself. Materialism says, be satisfied, please yourself. Psychology says, be confident, fulfill yourself. Pride says, be superior, promote yourself. Humanism says, be capable, believe in yourself. God says, be wise, humble yourself. We must remember that. We must humble ourselves before the Lord God Almighty. Write this second principle down. Number two, this is very important. You might want to put a star next to this one, okay? Very important. Very important right here. Again, this outline could be taught in any psychology class in America. I firmly believe that. Any business class, any parenting class, anything to do with success. People want to know what success is. I just heard the other day that that motivational speaker, I'm not even going to mention his name, but he charges people $750 or something like that to come to his seminar, and about 30 people had gotten burned by walking over coals because he's trying to bring out the greatness in them. You know, they talk like this, and you're going to walk over these coals. I mean, it's total lunacy, okay? People are going to spend money for that. Why? Because we live in a culture that's so hung up on themselves, that's so hung up on outward prosperity. God is about inward prosperity. Now, if you are blessed in this life in a material way or any type of things, you got to be careful that whatever successes you get don't define you, that God still defines you. So write this principle down. Refuse, and this is free. You don't got to pay $700 for this, okay? Refuse to be a prisoner of your prosperity. You are going to prosper in this life. There's nothing wrong with that. You might prosper financially, socially, relationally, emotionally. But don't, mark these words down, don't become a prisoner of your prosperity. Apollos was not a prisoner of the spiritual prosperity that God gave to him. Because if he was, he would have never been teachable. One of the ways that people get hung up from growing in any area of their life, I mean, I don't care what you do, wherever it is that we rest on what we've done. In other words, we're worshiping and shining up our trophies instead of focusing on the next goal ahead. You know, I'm a big believer, and a lot of times people go, oh, the church is in the paper. I don't know. I don't care. Okay, because we got to focus on what's the next thing that God wants us to do. We don't want to get hung up on what we are. It's all about what Christ is. I mean, it's nice to the printed page or whatever allows people to know about the Lord. That's a great thing, but it's not about us. We cannot become a prisoner. Don't let your trophies hold you hostage. We must move on. Apollos didn't do it. Now, it goes on to say this in the second part of verse 26 of Acts 18. And this is what they did. They pulled him aside, Aquila and Priscilla pulled him aside, and they explained to him now the way of God. More accurately, they gave him more details about the life of Christ. Oh, what glorious details they are, right? They talked to him more. They had some information from Paul, didn't they? Perhaps from some of the other apostles. Who knows how these roads crossed with each other? Perhaps they told him about how he went where the prostitute was getting ready to get stoned, with a woman who was caught in adultery, was ready to get stoned. And he came there, and he stopped that, and everybody threw their stones down as he drew in the sand. He's without sin, cast the first stone. Maybe they heard that, and they relay that. Maybe they came, and they said how he had compassion for the people who were caught up with disease. Maybe he told them some of that. Maybe they said, hey, you got to see, he had Peter walk on water. How about that? I don't know what it was, but they schooled him in the ways of Christ. And it wasn't an emotional fill. It wasn't for a show. It was for a great purpose, so that he could be more useful to the things of God. Your prosperity, as great as it is, give God honor and thanks and move on. You want to stay humble. Now, notice this drop-down box here in your notes. The first thing we want to say about not becoming a prisoner of your prosperity, how do you do that here? Notice this. Keep a low profile by deflecting attention. We talked about this at the men's meeting the other day. You want to keep a low profile. Even if your profile gets raised at work, in the community, whatever it is that God blesses you with, realize, okay, that's from God. Somebody gives you a compliment, thank you very much, but don't get a fat head. Don't get a big head that we're going to have to grease up the door to wheel you into church, okay? Some people get that way. They have a fat head. You can't let any of that get to you. Because you know what else is going to get to you? Then when people put you down, you're going to be hiding under the covers. It's the same people that hide under the covers. They can't take criticism. Listen, bring it on. Don't worry. Keep a low profile. And deflect attention. Be quick to give thanks to God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31. In the ESV says this, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. That is a great rule of thumb for you and I. Our boast is going to be in God. You know, today social media has given way to everybody's braggadocious ways, right? I got this, I'm here, I did it. Now, there's nothing wrong with you want to share memories of family, and things. That's wonderful, that's great. But you never want to be a bragger. We see that today with people in their business life. Oh, look at me, I got this now. You could be this if you become what I am. And that's just, you know what? That represents a hope that's not in the Lord. That represents a boast in the self. We have to realize whatever I have, just as it says in the Psalms, whatever I have is a gift from God. He's the owner, and I'm the manager. Now, that's living accurately, actually. We want to keep a low profile because we don't want to be like the turtle who fell from his perch. I heard this story, and it was about ducks who swam in a pond where a turtle lived. As he listened to the ducks describe their wondrous adventures around the world, he felt somewhat
jealous because he had a desire himself to travel. But being a turtle, he wasn't able to travel that far from home. Finally, two ducks offered him some help. One of the ducks said, "We will each hold an end of the stick in our mouths. You hold the stick in the middle in your mouth, and we will carry you through the air so that you can see what we have seen as we fly by. But be quiet or you'll be sorry." Now, the turtle loved the idea. He told all his friends about it. All his little turtle friends were envious of him. So he took hold of the stick, and away they went into the sky. The ducks flew up above the trees and circled around the meadow. The turtle was amazed and overjoyed at his new perspective on the world. He marveled at the flowers on the hillside, things he had never seen before. Just then a crow flew past, astonished at the sight of a turtle flying through the air, carried by two ducks. And that crow said, "Certainly, certainly, you are the king of all turtles, that you could fly like this." Just then the turtle spoke up and said, "That I am." And he lost his grip and he fell to the ground. We got to keep a low profile. When God raises us up, however it may be, realize that it's for his glory, not for ours. Let's keep our mouths shut. It's okay to say that in church. We got to learn that. Let's give glory to God if we're going to open our mouth. Somebody wants to bless you with a compliment or something like that, receive it. Thank you very much, but keep a low profile. All glory belongs to God. You live this way. I don't care what area of business you're in. I don't care what you do. You live this way, and you will honor God, and you will experience even more blessings. And what those blessings are, it's not for any of us to know or even be worried about. Just live your life in such a way that it honors and pleases God this way. Next, keep learning by looking ahead. Don't look back any longer. Now, don't look back on your sin. If God's already forgiven you, move on. That's false guilt. You want to operate in the Spirit and move forward. But sometimes we could also look back on our credentials and how great we were. The Apostle Paul, Philippians 3, go home and check it out. It's his testimony. If there was anybody who had a reason to be braggadocious and to pat himself on the back, it was Paul. He had amazing religious credentials in his Jewish culture. But he said those were rubbish compared to knowing Christ. In Philippians 3, verse 13, he says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." And what lied ahead for Paul? Knowing the fellowship of the sufferings of Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection. That is what Paul was focused on. That was the prosperity that he was zeroing in on. Apollos was taken aside by Aquila and Priscilla. He could have easily shunned them, but he received them. Why? Because Apollos was keeping a low profile, even with all this understanding, even with all this high status that he had as he was regarded. And he kept learning, and it shows that he was willing to keep learning. Whenever you say, "I don't need to keep learning any longer," that's going to be the death of your growth, by the way. Leaders are readers. Leaders keep learning. That's what you want to do in this life. You want to keep learning in the ways of God, in your craft, in your business, whatever it may be. You want to keep sharpening your axe. And if you don't, well, it's going to get dull, and it's going to affect your ability to cut down what's in front of you. Apollos, evidently, very clearly, is someone who's teachable because he refused to be a prisoner of his past prosperity. Write this third principle down. Remain, as we learn from Apollos here, remain focused on a humble path for your life. And maybe that's a question for us to wrestle with today. What path are we on? Are we on a selfish path, or are we on the humble path that God wants for us? Is everything about us, or is it about God? Is it about others, or is it just about what we want to do? Now, I could tell you that we're going to be challenged in our own flesh in this area. We're going to want to make it about us, but we got to make it about God. Apollos certainly did. Now, after they pulled him aside and they encouraged Apollos and they taught him the ways of God. Now, for how long that was, I don't know for sure. It would be wrong for me to just say, okay, it took 10 minutes. That'd be ridiculous anyway to say it took 10 minutes. Who knows exactly how long it took? But what I do know is that Apollos listened. What I do know is that he received that. And maybe there might be a time when somebody pulls you aside, maybe it's to correct you because you're doing something that's off the path that God has for you. Receive it. Maybe it's because you're involved in something that you shouldn't be involved in. Receive it. Don't play the game and beat around the bush. That's called making excuses. That's called playing the game. You don't want to do that because that's just prohibiting you from growing just like Apollos did. You want to be teachable and receive correction. God is going to tap you in your heart to correct you. And thank God he does that for me, and thank God he does that for you. I don't know if he taps me on the heart. Sometimes he hits me in the head. I need that every once in a while. I don't know about you, but I need that. We need to be tapped upside the head to wake up and remember what it's all about. Here, Apollos was teachable. And because he was teachable, he was already on a humble path. And now he's going to continue on that humble path. Notice what it says here in verse 27. And when he desired to cross to Asia, he's going to continue the ministry away now from where he's at, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. So now he's getting reference letters. People are vouching for his character. See what happens when you're teachable? People are going to want to stand up for you. People are going to have your back. But you know what? If Apollos was like Aquila and Priscilla, you could take your little teaching here and go away. Nobody's going to stand up for somebody like that. But people are going to support people who are teachable. And guess even greater than people, God is going to support people who are teachable. When God knocks on your heart or hits you upside the head, however it happens, and when God brings to mind and heart things that need to change, or maybe you need to sharpen your axe, and you listen to God, and you obey what God's word has to say, you better believe that God is going to provide. As we've said before, God takes full responsibility for a life that's given over to him, for a life that remains teachable. And it says that they received him, and when he arrived, now notice this, he greatly helped. Now, some people, they're a great hindrance, actually. When you are unteachable, you are a hindrance. You may not realize it, but let me tell you, you're a hindrance. I'm a hindrance when I'm unteachable. Just ask people who are closest to you. If people are honest with you, they'll go, yeah, you know, your attitude stinks. You know what? You are judgmental. You know what? You need to calm down a little bit. We all need that. By the way, we all need it. What we have to realize here is that Apollos, his character was in the clear. He was on the humble path. It says that he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. Now look at this. Now that's a great New Testament word, isn't it? Grace. Grace. That is a beautiful word. That is the core of the gospel. We are saved by grace. Even our desire to exercise faith. Guess what that's about? Your good looks? No. Your religious credentials? No. Guess what that goes back to? God's grace. Anything you and I do good, it's not because, oh boy, he's such a good little boy or girl. No, because of God's grace. It's all by his grace. That is the substance of our faith. That's the air that we breathe as Christians. It's all by God's grace. And now notice the transition here. We've went from a very Old Testament description, the way of the Lord. Now here a very New Testament. He has grown in the great understanding of grace. Because if you miss grace, how are you going to teach anything to do about the New Testament? Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, saying you're going to teach somebody to play baseball, but you're not going to bring a bat, a ball, or a glove or anything like that. Okay, I don't know how you're going to learn baseball. How are you going to learn about the things of God in the New Testament, about Jesus Christ, if you don't talk about grace? And now we combine it all together, and now he went from somebody who needed to be helped to understand grace. Now he's helping people understand grace. This represents somebody who is teachable. We must be teachable. And because he was teachable, he didn't just sit on it. He keeps serving. See, that's the thing about God's people when they're on a humble path. They keep serving. Let me just share with you, as a fellow human being who suffers from stubborn mule syndrome, one of the reasons why that contributes to being a stubborn mule is that we let excuses get in the way. I got to do this. I got to do that. I can't. And here's the problem with that. God loves you so much, and he cares for you. He desires to use you. I don't know how many years I have left. I don't know how many years you have left. The duration is not important, but what is important is the donation of our life. And here Apollos gave his life to the Lord, and God used him. He was on the humble path. What path are you on today? Is it the path of humility, or is it the path that we want to be on? We must be on the humble path. We must be on what God wants us to do. This is a beautiful understanding here of staying on God's humble path. One of the ways to stay on that humble path is to be thankful for what God has given to you. and walk in what God has given to you. Listen to this by an unknown author. Even though I clutch my blankets and groan when the alarm rings each morning, thank you, Lord, that I can hear. There are those who are deaf. Even though I keep my eyes tightly closed against the morning light as long as possible so I don't have to get up to go to that job I complain about, thank you, Lord, that I could see. There are many people who are blind. Even though I huddle in my bed and put off the physical effort of rising, thank you, Lord, that I have the strength to rise. There are many who are bedridden. Even though the first hour of my day is hectic, where can the socks be? The toast is burned. Tempers are short. Thank you, Lord, for my family. There are many who are lonely today. Even though our table never looks like the pictures in the magazines and at times is completely unbalanced with nutrition, thank you, Lord, for the food that we have. There are many who go to bed hungry each night. Even though I may not be perfect and I still struggle with the things I struggle with, thank God that I'm delivered and I'm no longer in the dark and that He has saved me. Even though the routine of my job is getting on my nerves and I feel like I'm not making any headway in my life's dreams, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work, for every experience you give as part of your training ground. There are many who have no work or realize this perspective. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. Sometimes we just need to say that to God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. You know, we don't get away for Thanksgiving and a turkey and then to be passed out on a comber and a couch watching football at the end of November to be thankful. We could be thankful now in June. We could be thankful and joyful, thankful throughout the year. There's no law against being thankful, at least there isn't yet. You could give thanks to the Lord God Almighty. That's where all the boasting needs to be. That's where the true pride needs to be in. Not anything else. Not any lifestyle, not any possession or anything like that. Our trust, our boast is in God. That keeps us on the humble path that God wants for us. Apollos was humble. And he was committed to the things of God. And we close with this scripture, Acts 18, 28, continuing on. It says, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures, notice this now, that Jesus is the Christ. This represents a man who had been completely given over to God. He was, prior to Aquila and Priscilla, somewhat of what you would call an Old Testament saint, an Old Testament believer. He knew the things of the coming of Christ, and he believed with all his heart the Messiah and what the Old Testament talked about. But Aquila and Priscilla pulled him aside to sharpen his axe. We need Aquilas and Priscillas in our life. And the Holy Spirit is going to knock on our heart, and we must be yielded to him. We must be committed to the things of God. And so write this final principle down then. It's very clear that Apollos was empowered by God's provision. So write this down. Rely on God's provision. Apollos was not reliant on his own eloquence or his own scholastic ability in the scriptures. He was completely dependent on the ways of Christ. He was completely dependent on God. And you want to be dependent upon God for your family, for your income, for your needs, for the food that's on your table, for the breath that's in your lungs. You want to be completely dependent on God so that when it's time for God to pluck you out of this world, you'll stand before him one day and hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Connecting this to the habit of last week of trusting God, this is where we need to be. I'm going to be a person who's completely given over to God. And I'm going to give of myself to God. A great example of that is one of our dear members who went home to be with the Lord earlier this week. Some of you may have heard and some of you haven't, but a sweet lady who used to sit to my left of the stage in the back, Catherine Covell, who had a battle with cancer, went home to be with the Lord. And just yesterday I was able to speak with her daughter, and we're planning out the memorial. It's tentatively set for this Wednesday. We want to invite you to it if you want to be here at 7:30. And just check the church's social media just to follow up on that, because we're just waiting for instructions with the family. But it's tentatively slated for this Wednesday, the 29th. You don't want to miss that. Catherine was a dear believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. and committed to the church, even through her battle with cancer. But what was made known to me, because I don't know individually what people give. That's on purpose. Never did and never will. It's not my business. That's between you and the Lord. The only reason why we keep track is because we're blessed in America to be able to give people a statement for their taxes and so that they could keep track of all of that. It was made known to me by our stewardship team that even with limited resources and even with depleting health, one of the strongest contributors to the church was Catherine. And I find that remarkable. You know why I find that remarkable? Because some people have when I hit the lotto faith. You know what that is, right? Well, Pastor Ray, when I hit the lotto, I'm gonna. Now, if I had a dime for that, nobody would need to ever play the lotto again in church. We have enough money to feed the whole world. Forget about waiting to hit the lotto. The odds are not in your favor, okay? Forget about trying to find the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You've already struck gold in Jesus Christ. You've already hit the mega load in Christ, in grace. Just as Apollos did. And just as Apollos was given over to God to be used of him, so should you and I be given over to God that way. So that when God calls us home, whatever it may be said of us, that we weren't the richest, we weren't the most famous, we weren't the most known, but we were committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we were given over to his provisions. We knew that where God guides, he provides. We knew that even if that guidance was led straight into the wilderness of sickness, that God is there. And that even if that wilderness experience was going to wind up being the death of me physically, that I know that the story doesn't end there. That's not a period, that's a comma for the Christian. That God has a beautiful eternity waiting for you and I, a place called heaven. That we will live in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, where no doubt Catherine is enjoying today. And so, being teachable is far more than just achieving the champion within yourself. You don't need to walk on coals. You don't need to put yourself through any suffering to mentally trick yourself into anything. By the way, all the suffering was done on the cross through Jesus Christ. And that's the suffering that fuels you and I to be committed to the Lord and be teachable. And as you live that way, spiritually speaking, that raises all boats in the harbor of your life when you commit to the Lord that way. Because that's going to raise your ability to depend on the Lord. And when you could depend on the Lord, you're going to be able to face those mountains and those challenges that come your way. Not because of you, but you're teachable. And you're going to receive from the Lord and move forward. A theme verse that we had during our week of prayer, which was a beautiful week, and I thank God for that week 2 weeks back. We're going to do another one. It was so great. And it's going to be in the fall. We'll advertise the dates, and I invite everybody to it. You don't want to miss any of it. We're going to do it every year, twice a year. It's a beautiful thing. And one of the verses that we talked about was from Psalm 27. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Can we finish this together? But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Do you believe that? Amen. You want to trust in the name of the Lord our God, the name of Jesus Christ, for there's no other name under heaven and on earth which men, women, and children could be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Christ. Like Apollos, remain teachable to the things of God. Trust God to move in your life. You know, guess what? People may have written you off a long time ago. God hasn't. As what was said earlier in the worship, God is with you. You know, listen, everybody else may be against you, but if God is for you, think about it that way. Who could be against you? Who could stand against you? But remain teachable. You'll miss those gold nuggets of truth in the scripture. You'll be so caught up and you will be so afraid. You'll get afraid of a little bug that comes your way, a little criticism that comes your way. You know what? You'll be able, in humility, by the way, just to keep on walking in God's grace when you're teachable to God. Because our trust, listen, let other people trust in their own resources, but we trust in the Lord God Almighty. We trust in the Lord God Almighty. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Our Father, our God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. Lord, help us to be like Apollos today, like Aquila and Priscilla. Everyday people, just committed to you, oh God. Help us to open up our homes, our hearts, to you, O God. We thank you for the opportunity here at this church, planting us here on what is dubbed as the crossroads of Staten Island. Thank you for this privilege and this opportunity. We pray that you would bring more Aquilas and Priscillas. We pray more Apollos to raise up, Lord. Use us, Lord, in our lifetime for your glory. Help us to be teachable first to you, to your Spirit, to be teachable to people who are around us, who you put in our path, that we may grow and be mighty so that we could be used of you and used of you to love the least of these, used of you to be the alms and the feet of the church, used of you to be the compassion that this compassionless world so desperately needs, O God. And we thank you for the life of Catherine. We know that you've received her, O God. We look forward to a reunion one day. We pray, O God, that all of us, O God, we keep our hands to the plow, knowing the importance of our work, by being teachable to you, O God, and being used of you, so that more Catherines could come to hear your message and be committed to you. We give you thanks and praise for your grace and for your love. We commit these words now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.